Good morning. Oh, there we go. As you heard, my name is Amy Nichols, and I'm coming to you today from Riverside Community Church, where I'm part of a group of communicators who are meant to bless and support other churches and pastors, and that's why I'm blessed to be here today. And I was so encouraged to listen to Pastor Danny's message last week because there were so many connections into what I'm going to be speaking about today, and as God would have it, it's going to come all together, so I'm so grateful for that. A little bit about myself. By profession, I am an elementary school teacher here in the city of Pittsburgh. I teach for Pittsburgh Public Schools in my 25th year. I know I don't look like I should have been here for 25 years, but this is my 25th year, and you're going to hear more about that a little bit later, but it was about 4 years ago that God called me into a deeper dive into ministry. And following his leading, I graduated this past May from the Pendel School of Ministry, and I'm just looking forward to whatever God has in store as I'm still teaching full-time in Pittsburgh. Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you. I am married to Ron, who's here with me today. He's also a school teacher, and he's a huge support to me. We've been married for 23 years, and we do have two kids. Our son, Ryland, is 19, and he is a student at Liberty University studying ministry. And our daughter, Adeline, is 16. That means you cannot tell her anything at all. And she loves theater. She loves working at Starbucks. And she's looking forward to getting her license next month. So stay off the roads if you can. If you didn't catch anything else I just said, I hope you heard that I am a wife and a mom and a teacher. And I am not by profession a pastor. So you'll have some grace on me today. Is that right? Okay, good. We're going to be diving into a message today all about listening for God's voice, his still small voice, and seeking the silence and solitude that are necessary for us to hear from him. And I really do believe that most of us genuinely want to hear God's voice. We want to hear him speak to us, but we don't always know how to posture our lives in a way that's conducive to hearing him speak. We don't necessarily have a daily practice that lines us up with hearing from God. And my prayer is today that when we leave here, we will have some practical ways to cultivate that lifestyle where we will be able to lean in and listen for the voice of God. So, of course, we're going to be looking at our instruction manual, God's Word, the Bible. But before we look into the scripture, I just want to begin to share a personal story with you that just happened a few months ago where God used silence and solitude to speak to me. And as the story unfolds through several parts of the message, you're going to see that God provided for us an insane demonstration of what he's talking about when he says to seek him in silence and solitude. So as I said, I'm an elementary school teacher in Pittsburgh, and I teach third grade. And at the beginning of this school year, I had a student who was in my classroom, and he had been diagnosed as severely emotionally disturbed, as well as having oppositional defiance disorder. These things caused him to be very active, physically violent, hurting children, being aggressive. And he actually wasn't even supposed to be in the classroom because he had been diagnosed in April and had been given an opportunity to go to another school where they could provide all of the resources and support, but mom was not on board with that. So here he was in my classroom, and during these first 2 weeks, he was very busy hitting and punching and flipping tables and kicking and everything you could possibly imagine, swearing and hurting kids, and it was out of control. It was total chaos every day, and all of the other kids were scared. Many of them, their parents were texting. They didn't want to come to school because they were so afraid of what was going to happen to them that day, and there was really nothing being done because our hands were tied in this decision. And here I was every day trying to do what I know how to do, and that's teach kids math and deal with the scope that I had to work within, providing rewards and consequences and trying to instill, you know, what is acceptable and not acceptable and trying to get assistance and keep documentation. And I'm sure you can imagine that there were a whole lot of things involved with what was going on. And also outside of the classroom, trying to keep my sanity and keep praying and keep seeking God and trying, crying, calling friends, getting prayer warriors with me. But it seemed like I was getting nowhere. And it seemed like it was getting me increasingly stressed out. I was becoming upset on a regular basis. And I just felt like there was absolutely no hope. I was at my wit's end. And it reminded me of Pastor Danny when he said, there's a problem last week that you just cannot solve. And that was me. I saw no way out. And maybe you have felt that way before, or maybe you're even here today and you're feeling that there's a problem that you can't solve. There's just no way out of a situation. And I want you to know that God sees you. And I hate to leave you on a cliffhanger, but I'm going to. We're going to pause the story right there, and hopefully you're on the edge of your seats, some of you. We're going to pick up with that story a little later on in the message, but let's open up in prayer. Thank you, God, so much for your written word. Thank you for the desire that you have to speak to us. Who are we that you would want to speak to us? We're so grateful. And I pray, God, that today you would help us to lean in to practices and the relationship with you that would place us in a position to be able to hear your voice speaking to us through various ways. We lift up this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text for today is coming from Psalm chapter 46. And you'll see in the first 9 verses there that the author is describing God as being our refuge and our strength. He's talking about him being present to protect us. He's describing his power. He's talking about ending wars and defending the people. But you also see in those scriptures that he's talking about all of the problems that exist, the wars, the fear, the earthquakes, the times of trouble, the oceans roaring, the mountains crumbling, water surging, nations in chaos, and the kingdoms are crumbling. These first 9 verses describe all of the chaos that I was feeling at that time. And then in verse 10, God interjects himself into the text in the first person, and he says, "Be still." Pause right there and take note that the wording "be still" is not a suggestion. It is a command. That phrase, "be still," is commanding us to do something. And it's obvious that it's a command and we're intended to do it, but it's not always the easiest thing because life is busy, life is hard, things come up, they're urgent, we can't steal away. And so we find ourselves often in a rut of too much and not enough time to be still with God. And we're thrown into some crazy situations. But in the very next verse, the final verse of the chapter, you'll see that the author seems to forget about all those other things mentioned in the first 9 verses. And suddenly, the author just has an awareness of God and his presence and who he is. Psalm 46 isn't actually the only place that we can find that command to be still. It's in several other chapters of Psalm. It's also found in Lamentations and Exodus. I've listed for you some of the places that you can find it if you want to go home and do some research later on this week. There's many places where God commands us to be still. And the Hebrew word for be still is Rapha. One of the meanings for Rapha, are you ready for it? Surrender. Let go. It involves emptying ourselves, not for the purpose of being empty, but for the purpose of being filled with him and hearing from him. But how many of us are really happy to surrender? I know I'm not a happy surrenderer. You can ask my husband. I am a control nut, and I want everything under my control. So for me to be able to surrender and let go, it takes me depending and trusting on who God is. But we have so much to gain when we obey his commands. Our campus pastor, Pastor Mike, he recently said this statement, and it just spoke to me so powerfully. The level of goodness of life that we experience will always correspond to the degree by which we simply obey Jesus and what he commands. Simply obey. That's going to be a perfect correlation to the level of goodness that we see in our life. Because the fact is, the Bible, our command, our instruction book, told us, the Lord of the universe is telling us to be still, point blank, to surrender, to let go. But the amazing news is the verse didn't just say be still and then move on. If you go back to verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Like Pastor Danny said last week, that surrender is often hard to do, but in that surrender, we get to know who God is. We see in Scripture that it's from the place of being still, from surrendering it all, that we're able to recognize who God really is. And we're able to know him, not about him, not what he's done, not what he can do for us, but to know him in a personal way. And we become certain of his sovereignty, of the fact that he owns it all and controls it all. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that whatever situation we're in, he's still in control of that as well. That way we're not worried and preoccupied with those things. Instead, we're resting in the fact that he cares about little old me, that he loves me, and he has a plan and a purpose, and he wants to speak that to me. What a gift that is when we can come to the realization from just being still. Now, this whole idea of being still, it involves two things: silence and solitude with God, our creator. So the question is, how can we cultivate that? It's not enough for us just to try to turn down the volume of the things around us, because really what it takes is an engagement. It takes, for, if we're being honest, an engagement that a lot of us are missing from our relationship with God. Think about your prayer time. Think about your worship time, maybe listening to a sermon, reading the Bible. How much, if you were to reflect, of your time is spent completely in silence, just listening in to hear what God would be saying to you from what you just read, what you just saw, what you just took in? How many times do we read our Bible and then go on about our day, sing a song, go on about our day, listen to a sermon, go on about our day? And how much of that time do we actually sit there and just listen and allow God to speak to us from the well that we have created? And what's even crazier is sometimes we say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening," but then we don't. We like run on about our things because we have so much to do. And it might be hard for us because we don't always think of our relationship with God as personal, because he is God. We often have a hard time thinking about that relationship being so personal. And also because most of the time he doesn't speak audibly, so we have a hard time discerning his voice when it's speaking to us. Oftentimes, there are so many other voices that are infiltrating our minds and our thoughts that we have a hard time clearing out the one voice that really matters. And at times, it can seem hopeless to even ourselves, because our own thoughts take over and seem to come in the way of what when we're trying to hear from him. I know that people always say, like, get rid of the other thoughts. And what I have found in my time is that it's actually less about getting rid of my thoughts, because that still puts the focus back on me, and more about tuning in to him, trying to imagine that I am looking right at him and I'm listening for him to say something to me. His voice is what created us. It's what spoke us into our mother's womb. It's what ordained our days and started the work and will complete the work. And so his voice is more powerful than any others. And if we can begin a practice where we're tuned in to listening to that, it will be life-changing. We can hear that voice through many ways. It can be through a person or a song, an experience, even, as we're going to see soon, through absolute silence. But as we actively pursue him and all throughout our day, practice this act of listening and being still, and we also surround ourselves with other believers who are practicing that, what we're giving God is this well to draw from, so that when we are listening in, he can remind us of that scripture that we read. He can remind us of that interaction that we had or that sermon that we heard. He can use the things that we've been laying out to be able to speak to us. So let me go on to the next part of the story for you. I left off with you. We were about 2 weeks into school. Chaos is reigning supreme, and I'm ready to quit my job. I actually did contemplate taking the rest of the year off. I'm not going to lie about that. Then one day, the student turned his physical violence onto me. And besides being physically hurt, I came to a place where I realized that I was completely unable to control anything. I realized I'm not even able to protect my own students. And that night, as I'm falling asleep and I'm just crying out to God, and my husband wasn't even home at the time, him and the kids were at church, so I was just by myself crying out to God, I just kept hearing God say, "Rest in me." And I'm like, that's what I'm trying to do right now. I don't know what you want from me. But all night, he just kept saying, "Rest in me, rest in me, find your rest in me." Even in my sleep, as I'm dreaming, "Rest in me." So the next morning, I woke up, and I began to sense that he was saying, "Rest in me," like as in stay home from work and rest in me. I'm like, "Lord, I don't know if you're paying attention. This is the second week of school. I cannot call off. We have zero substitutes, so that means all of the teachers would have to take my students. That means that you thought chaos was reigning before. Now, with all the kids sprinkled about, there's going to be even more chaos. The kids are going to feel, unprotected. It feels like I was, like, being defeated. And so I wrestled with this. I just wrestled in bed, but then out of obedience, I reached over for the nightstand, grabbed my phone, called off work, and I just laid there in silence, really just contemplating, did I do the right thing? I don't even know. Is this what you're even saying? Suddenly, my phone buzzed, and I lifted it up from my chest, and it was my husband, Ron, and he was downstairs doing his devotional, and he said, I felt like I was supposed to send this to you. And it was a scripture followed by a question, a statement, about what does it take to find your rest in God today. And I was like, oh, okay, clear message, very much, I will not be going to work today. He had no idea of all that God was saying to me through the night. He had no idea that I had just called off of work, but he knew that God was telling him to send this to Amy right now. And that was all I needed. I spent the entire day just in silence at times, worship at times, crying, praying, reading my Bible, just everything with him. Now, I need you to know that I have called off work before due to stress, because I don't know if you know, teaching in the city can be a little stressful sometimes. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of just things that are happening and not as much support and all the things that could happen. But I have called off. But the difference is when I went back to work the next day, often I would go back with the same stress, the same anxiety. It was like I had pressed pause for a minute and then it came back in and here we are back where we were. But this time, when I walked back into school that next day, I felt as if I had like a brand new perspective. My mind had been completely renewed. I did not feel any of the anxiety and stress that I had left there with. It was like a complete reset. And I was like, oh, yes, this is God. But what's even more crazy is that during that day, two different teachers said things that just God was just showing off to me. One, a teacher came into the room and she said, I love coming in this classroom. It's just so peaceful. And I was like, are you serious right now? Peaceful? That's the word you're choosing to describe. And as soon as she said that, I looked at her, I said, that is God. Listen to me, Ms. McCauley. It is God who did that. And then later in the day, I'm walking down the hall, and another teacher who I never even hardly see, he said, Ms. Nichols, you are so calm and peaceful today. I don't understand how with everything that's going on. And I'm like, that's God. So I looked and raised, that's God. Listen to me. I'm telling you, that's nothing but God. And when I got home that night, I was just so floored. And I just kept saying, thank you, God. Thank you for showing up in my life in the middle of this chaotic situation and allowing me to have a renewed mind. And as I'm praying to him, God spoke to me in my spirit. And he said, that is it right there. That is it. This renewed mind that you have, this overflow into all the other areas of your life, the fact that people can sense my presence, that's what it looks like when you surrender yourself in silence and solitude with me. And he said, that is what it needs to be like every day. No, you don't call off work every day, but surrendering yourself and putting yourself in a position that you can hear and receive from him. And so that 48 hours, that would have been enough for me to just carry on and be like, God is to be praised. But he wasn't done yet. Just you wait. We're pausing the story for right now. I'm going to tell you more later. But trust me, God is, he's amazing. So the whole notion of being still, of practicing silence and solitude, it's really important that we understand that it is not really as much of a physical idea as it is a mindset. It's a mindset of surrender. It's a mindset of letting go of our will and our way of what we want and getting out of the way and letting him be in control. And really, it's a mindset that we expect to hear from him. Not that we're like, let's see if he's going. No, I know he wants to speak to me, and I'm going to listen to hear what he has to say. It's a mental posture more than a physical one. So we're not talking about taking a nap. That's not what we're talking about when we say be still or going to sleep. We're talking about an action word where you lean in and you listen. And we're actively setting aside all of the other things, actively turning off everything else to be alone with him. So it becomes intentional and purposeful. It means that we're engaging with God because we want that relationship. Just like I built a relationship with my husband when I met him, I was imagining if he said, let's go on a date and play some basketball, and I'm standing there with the basketball in one hand and scrolling on my phone with the other, just looking at whatever, That's not engaging. I'm saying that I'm here with you doing the thing, but I'm actually totally disengaged. And this is what we do to God all the time. We say, I'm going to read your word, but we just do it so we can tell him, see, I read your word this morning. I'm going to say that I listened to a worship song just so I can say, I checked that off my religious box, but we're not actually saying, speak to me. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to focus on what you might be saying to me. We have to engage with our Creator. And to know what that looks like, we have to look at our example, Jesus. In the scriptures, Jesus modeled this need. He modeled being still. He modeled the silence and the solitude, taking time to be with his Father. And this is the Son of God, by the way, the one who is perfect, walked a perfect life, had, no, like, you know, God himself, and yet he... Many times through all of the Gospels you can find that he stole away time away from the crowds to be alone with God and to be listened. He demonstrated it again and again. And if you enjoy studying, you should go back into the Gospels and look through all four Gospels and underline every time that you see where it says Jesus withdrew. What you'll end up finding is that he withdrew before he began his public ministry, before he started his day, before he chose the disciples, after he fed the 5,000, when they wanted to force him to become the king, right before he was arrested, and so many other examples. As a matter of fact, I think the scripture in Luke 5 says it point blank, Jesus often withdrew. He prioritized that silence and that solitude. And we know that he was actually listening to the voice of God because there were times when the people wanted him to do something or the disciples wanted him to do something. And he said, no, no, I'm here to do the will of my Father. How would he know what the will of his Father was if he wasn't listening? We are called to be set apart. And being set apart, living like Christ, means we do what Jesus did. And that leads to the life that we were designed to live. Jesus intentionally created that time. He created that time to be quiet and alone with his Father, and it impacted his ministry. It allowed him to see the plan of God. It allowed him to go to the cross where he would willingly lay down his life for you and for me, be raised from the dead, and trample on sin for all of eternity, securing your and my eternity. Aren't you glad that he obeyed the will of his Father today? I know I am. This is the good news. And because he did that, now we can have a personal relationship with the Creator, and we can have time of silence and solitude with our God, all because of what he did. Now, some of you might be thinking this. You might be embarrassed to admit it, but you might be thinking, that sounds great, the silence and solitude stealing time away, but I don't have time for that. My life is too busy. I can't afford any time to just be alone and quiet. And I would argue that you can't afford not to do that. Jesus demonstrated, even in the most busy times of Scripture, that he went away to seek silence and solitude. And we can be certain that just like with tithing, when we give God our first and our best, he is able to do way more with what's left than we could ever do keeping it all to ourselves. So even with our time, when we give that portion to him and designate it, this is my time of surrender and listening, he's going to be able to magnify everything else that's left. Using our time to be alone with God doesn't diminish our productivity. Instead, we begin living from a place of divine empowerment. And wouldn't you just love to walk every day knowing that you're walking in divine empowerment, that he's giving you everything you need to be effective and fruitful? And then you start to recognize what's important versus what's urgent. Lots of things pop onto our plate that are very urgent, but they are not what God called us to do. And so as we spend time listening for him, we begin to discern more readily, this is urgent, but that's not. I mean, think about when Jesus walked away. There were still lines of people waiting to be healed. They were begging, crying out, heal me. And he said, this is the time I need to steal away to be with my Father. So we follow that same lead. And we realize when I lay my head on the pillow at night, it's not about my to-do list that I had. It's about, did I ask God what he has for me to do today? And did I obey that? And here's what I found. I found that at some point, if we haven't already gotten there, we'll be forced to stop and recognize that we can't do this our own way anyway. All of our striving and searching, all of it comes to a dead end. And the only peace and answers lie in Jesus, obeying what he set out for us because he knows the best way for us. He is the answer to every single problem. And this made me think of my iPhone. I don't know how many of you have a smart device and the update pops up and it says, time to update. I am one of those people, when it pops up, I hit remind me later or snooze or whatever because I'm like, I don't have time to restart this phone. I'm trying to do things. And I keep hitting that until one day the phone is not working properly. And if I'm having a real good day, I'll remember, oh, yeah, I need to update the phone. But I'm sad to tell you that one time I went to Verizon and I told them this phone is broken. This is not working right. It has been malfunctioning. And they said, ma'am, I felt so aged. Ma'am, this phone needs updated. And it's been telling you that. And I'm like, oh. And then they updated it, and it was running so smoothly, and I was so embarrassed. But that is how we are. We strive, and we strain, and we keep going in our own strength, in our own will, trying to do our things our own way. And God is standing there saying, I've got the update. I have the update. It's available every day, every hour, every minute. You just need to come to me, and I can iron all the other things out because it's all in my control. And so instead of struggling and striving, God says it doesn't have to be that way. We can recognize that he's there waiting for us. He's waiting for us to steal away time with him. And if you're not sensing him or you're not hearing from him, I can promise you one thing. It's not God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He has not changed, and he has not moved addresses. He's still there waiting for us to come to him. So we have to check ourselves on that. So how do we begin to obey this command then? What practically can we do? And I believe we have to start where we are. So since this entire thing is about a personal relationship with God, if you don't know Jesus today, and you're seeking, and you're searching, and you're trying to find that peace, I need you to know that he is the only peace that you will be able to get what you're looking for, that he loves you, he's here for you, he's the only source that will answer all of those things that you're seeking to find. He stands today at the door of your heart, and he's knocking because he will not force his way in, but he's waiting for you to open up and to allow him to be the head of your life. It's as simple as confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, and today can be the day that you come to salvation. It sounds simple, but it's an impact that will last for all of eternity, and it will also change your day to day. After the sermon, the altars will be open. You're welcome to come down and pray, or pray at your seat, or even I'd be happy to pray with you. But I just implore you not to leave here today the same that you came in. And if you're a believer, recognize this thing. Silence and solitude, surrendering specifically, it does not happen by default. Actually, our default is quite the opposite, especially that surrendering piece. We live in a world that is overstimulated. There is always noise. Even when we say we're resting, I'm going to go rest. We're listening to a podcast or watching a TV show or going to a movie or scrolling on social media. Even when we say we're resting, we're still surrounding ourselves with noise. So I have this question. How can we hear God if we can't hear God? That means that it's only going to happen by a deliberate action on our part, an intentional choice where we consider consciously time set aside, where we shut off and shut down every single other thing that would distract us. And we say we don't know how to do this, but really, if my husband was trying to talk to me right now and it was real noisy, I would be like, I'll meet you in that room, or that I would like tell him, go over here so I can hear what you're saying. We know how to. It's just often that it's not convenient for us. And we also say we don't have time in our day, which we already addressed that a little bit, but might I suggest, if you're bold enough, you can open up your phone and there's this clever little place that tells you exactly how many hours and minutes you've spent on every single app on their phone. If you don't know how, ask a teenager. They all know how. Or maybe it's your television or whatever else that you fill your time with. But if you begin to evaluate, maybe you could start asking yourself, how much of this time can I commit back to God, to be able to be silent and alone with him and to listen. Maybe carving out a chunk of time in the morning like Jesus did in Mark chapter 1 so that you have a chance to hear what God might be saying to you about your day, because you know he already knows what's coming in your day. Maybe time after you read your Bible to just sit there in silence listening. After you listen to a worship song or a sermon, just sitting there listening to what God would be saying to you. Allow time for God to draw from that well. As you continue to maintain those spiritual disciplines, you expect that he's going to speak to you. And it's not just about all those disciplines. I spoke earlier about surrounding yourself with people who are also passionate about their relationship with God, people who are listening for the voice of God themselves. I think of my husband when he sent that text. If he had not been in his quiet time listening to the voice of God, I wouldn't have gotten that message. And it would, you know, it's because I have in my life people who are also listening. And don't think it has to be through one certain way. He's God. He can speak through anything. He can speak through his chair right now if he wanted to. But he can use songs and he can use messages and people, even silence, like he did that day when I was home with him. He's working and he's speaking even when we can't hear it or sense it. And I really believe with all of my heart, guys, that if we make a decision today that we are going to follow this command and in the perfect path that God has laid out and that Jesus demonstrated for us, our lives will be changed. Our marriages will be changed. Our families, our schools, our workplaces, even a nation can be changed because of the power of God. After all, this life, it's not about us. Did you know that? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him and walking in obedience with what he has designed, the rhythm of his work. Pastor Danny talked about last week how we don't know what to say. We're afraid we're going to say the wrong thing. But when we begin to cultivate that rhythm of serving and loving like God does, it carries over into our interactions because our heart becomes like his heart. Our words become like his words, and pretty soon out of us flows not judgment and condemnation, but compassion and love that we didn't have before. So let me finish up by telling you the end of the story. So for several weeks, this continued, this entire chaotic situation continued. So we're now a full month into school, and it's still the same every day, but remember, even though the things had not changed, I continued to practice what God had said. This is it, Amy, right here. I continued to practice that every single day so that even though the situation around me didn't change, I changed inside. And then there came a day when they were going to have a meeting with this mom and try to convince her yet again. They've been trying since April, all through the summer, trying to convince the mom that this is a better placement and that we can get help and all of those things. So this time I was going to be invited to the meeting. And because I had to wait for people to come cover my kids and all that, I actually ended up waiting 45 minutes after the meeting had started. Now, I don't have time because they didn't give me 3 hours, but I can tell you that there's at least 4 examples where being still is linked in the scripture to waiting. So there's a whole nother sermon for a different day. But as I'm waiting this 45 minutes, I'm just in my room praying. The kids are working, and I'm just praying. My partner teacher was praying, and I'm just trying to, tell God, I know that you know about this delay. And they're still in there trying to work through them with the mom and convince her. So as I'm walking down the hall to go to the meeting finally after 45 minutes, I really wish I could tell you that I was walking down there just floating on a cloud, peace and contentment and joy, but that's not how it actually was. I wish I could say that, but the truth is I was stomping down that hall. I'm pretty sure my finger was like this, and I was ready to tell this woman about herself because I had seen what had been happening for a month now. I had seen the chaos that's been going on. I've seen all the kids getting hurt, myself. I was ready to tell all of the reasons why it needs to happen. And I was ready, guys. I was totally ready. And the disservice that was being done to him. And I was just ready to give her a piece of my mind, really, if I'm just being honest. But when I walked into the meeting, The mom was in the middle of adamantly saying, I'm not signing any of these papers. You can, it's almost been an hour now. They're still trying to convince her. And she's like, you can forget it. It's not happening. And my blood pressure went up as I heard that, and my heart rate went up, and I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. I sat down, and the leaders are all finishing up the meeting. They're basically saying, well, there's nothing we could do now. The meeting is basically over, so, and I'm like, what? And she turns, she said, it's not over, because I have things I need to say to her. And I was like, me? You have things to say? So as she turns to me, she began to unleash and unload all of this anger and hurtful words and telling me all the things that I must have done wrong and all the things that are my fault. And I'm just sitting there, and as she's telling me completely off, I'm looking at her face, and suddenly there's this warm sensation. Oh, I forgot to mention, as they were finishing the meeting up, I closed my eyes and I just said, God, I need all of you right now. And remember, this came more readily now because I have been practicing this and cultivating this every single day. And I'm pretty sure I asked him to take over so that I could get all my words right when I told her about herself. But the fact is, I said, God, I want all of you and none of me. And as she's telling me off, I'm looking at her in her face, and all of a sudden, a warm sensation just washed over me. And all I could see in her face was a mother who was hurt, who was desperate, who was scared and unsure. She was broken. And all I could see was that side of her instead of all of the anger and all of the things that she was saying to me. And I began to get emotional. As she's telling me off, I began to get emotional. And when it came time for me to speak, even though I wanted to say so many things to her, all that came out of my mouth was how much I cared about this boy, how much I love my students and I wanted them to be safe. All that came out was how I'm a mom and I understand her viewpoint. And guys, all that came out was love. God's love came pouring out, and you could see all of her walls beginning to come down. She began to get emotional. We had a few more words, and then she turned to me and thanked me for coming to the meeting. And then she said, give me all of the papers. I want to sign them all right now to get him the help that he needs. That is a miracle of God. I don't know, you know. Ooh, he's so worthy. Thank you, Jesus. That was a miracle. And now that boy is getting the help that he actually needs. He's in a place that can help him with his actual diagnosis, one that I was unable to provide. And now my other students are not coming crying to class anymore. They're not scared to come to school. This was all because of God. All because of God. And I was reminded of Exodus 14:14, where God says, I will fight for you. Just be still. And that's what I did that day. I just got still in his presence. And that night, as I'm driving home, you can imagine, I mean, this is several months later, I still get messed up about this. I'm driving home and I'm just like, God, you're insanely amazing. Like, how could you cultivate this? How? And I'm just praising him and worshiping him. And he whispered to my spirit and he said, Amy, you and I both had the same desired outcome. We both had the same goal in mind. But even if your method would have worked, that woman would have left there that day feeling hurt and angry. She would have felt pushed out, and she would have felt that her son is unloved. But because you surrendered yourself to me, she's driving home feeling loved and seen and cared about. She understands how much you love all of your students. And the difference is me. I make the difference. Because you surrendered to me, I made the difference in the set-apart life. I need you to know that I'm not exceptional at all. God is exceptional, and he wants to do the same in your lives with your situations every single day if you surrender to him. This thing that he's commanding us to do, to be still in silence and solitude, it's not too simple. It sounds simple, but it's not simple. It's a matter of making up our minds that we're going to set apart Christ as Lord, and we're going to put him first even with our time. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this message today. I thank you that you work in our lives, and I thank you that you said in Matthew, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. We want to be wise. We want to have that solid foundation and to live the life that you've designed for us. You already have shown us in your word this command to be still. and you even modeled it for us here on earth. Help us now, Lord. Help us to put it into practice. Help us to obey and surrender our lives. Help us to seek that silence and that solitude so that we can develop ears that are tuned into listening to your still small voice. We thank you that you desire to speak to us, and we ask that you continue to speak to us today. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.